Like, you know, you're playing basketball for a living, like, you know, pickup games. Like, maybe you want to play with the guy who doesn't even know how to dribble.
Nah.
You know, like,
if you always want to play somebody better.
You know, like,
that's what you're saying. Like, no, so Mike, if you played NBA players every day in basketball, you'd be happy.
I'll be happy.
They crush you like 100-0.
It's fine. It's fine though.
That one time you get a point, that's when you get excited.
It makes me proud.
That's not how I lived, right? So the reason I played poker was because the first time I played poker, I won. I won that tournament.
Like, did you really?
Yeah, no, it was like a little $5 game with like.
So you got hooked right there.
Yeah. As soon as that, like, the first game I played, I won, and that was it. I was like, all right, I can win this game. Right? The rubber game I can win. Lose every game, go play basketball, I lose every game, I get demoralized. I'm not gonna play that again. Why do I want to put myself through that misery?
Hey there, welcome to the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast, where you are encouraged to express your natural thoughts and views through casual, meaningful conversations that hopefully can lead to learning and understanding new perspectives. To find out more info, visit www.gfothoughts.com. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Wong and Robert Din. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Gluten-Free Organic Thought Podcast. My name is Michael, and always with me, Robert Din.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. We have a great episode for you guys today. We have a good friend of ours, John Ruiz, on. How you doing, John?
Welcome,
hey, I'm
John.
Good. Hey, thank you.
Yeah, well, we've been trying
to get you on for a long time, you know? We finally woke up, decided to come on, right? So
I know, I've been avoiding you guys.
Not a surprise there, you know?
Sounds about right.
All right, so we're going to start off today with our drinks. What are we drinking today, Robert?
Oh, today I have some whiskey. Yeah, some Hibiki.
Is that the same one we got that one time you were over?
Single malt.
Think so. Yeah.
It's like Korean. It's like Japanese whiskey.
Yeah, Japanese whiskey. Yeah.
That's nice, man. That's a good choice.
What are you drinking, John?
I have a cup of black coffee. I'm like
black coffee.
The opposite direction.
Oh,
nice.
I also have coffee here too.
He's trying to balance it.
You drink whiskey and coffee. That's crazy.
I got to work later too, so.
That's that.
It's a little bit of fun, right?
A little bit of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Stay awake while you're having fun, so why not?
Mike, what are you drinking?
I am being the health side too. I have this Chinese herbal green tea-ish. I'm not sure, can you see it? So see the little leaves and stuff?
I see.
Yeah, so trying to be, it has a little bit of caffeine, but you know.
It looks like you just put a salad inside of a cup, and then that's what you're drinking.
Or a bunch of seaweed in it.
A bunch of seaweed, that's probably it. A bunch of kale.
There you go, kale tea, man.
Yeah, you know how much I hate kale, and then you're drinking it.
It could be a good business, you know, if people love kale chip, why not kale tea? So
I don't know if people love kale chips.
it's a big market out there, I'm telling you right now. So
it's funny. Even I don't like kale, and I like everything. Like, I still eat it, but, like, I really like the way bitter stuff tastes, and that's, like, too bitter for me, which is, like, crazy. I really like bitter, too. But, like, even that's, like, too bitter.
Yeah, I can't do kale at all. No, that's not going to work for me.
All right, well, John, we didn't bring you up this episode to talk about kale, okay? We know you hate kale, but we know that you love poker.
It's like a stamp. Well, look, it's like kale hater.
Listen, we know that you love poker. You've been doing poker for so long. We wanted you to share a little bit of your journey, your background a little bit with us. Let's get started on that, right? Let's just talk about, you know, what ignited, you know, that passion to play poker. I mean, obviously, it's probably money, right?
Correction, I really don't like poker at all.
Oh, really? All right.
Oh, interesting.
That actually is super true. Like, it's like, I don't know. Yeah, I just, not like the most meaningful thing to pursue. I mean, you're pursuing money, and like, it's a hyper complicated game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, even like measures on like solution spaces for like various game types are like just fucking like by some measures you could be like there's like more decision points than there are like atoms in the universe, even though that's not like not that's like a way of like juking the way of thinking about it a little bit, because like you can do incremental betting where yep. that's not like super relevant to like creating strategies. Mm-hmm. That's just a way to make it sound much bigger than like it actually is an implication.
Yeah, because like majority of those decisions aren't real like options.
Or even or even like optimal strategies are gonna like have, or like what we think are optimal strategies are gonna have like varying frequencies at each like decision point. So you're gonna have like at each decision point you're gonna have like three or four decisions or like four paths you could go down. Yeah. But like you could say instead of betting $15, I could get bet $15 and 1 cent or 2 cent or 3 cent, and then you can blow up the math.
That's there you go. Oh, I see.
Yeah. So you started playing poker, let's say was it during college, I'm guessing?
Yeah, actually your stupid apartment. Thank you, buddy.
Nice.
You used to run $5 tournaments, remember that?
No, $20 tournaments, I remember that.
No, it started at $5. I remember because I paid in change like my first time. Oh yeah.
We started for fun, remember that.
Yeah, because like I remember you had class with Sammy. And then, like, I met you. You had, like, an engineering class together or something. And then Sammy was – I ended up meeting you, and then, like, you
– Oh, no, I met Sammy at basketball court. I didn't have class with him at all.
Okay, then maybe that's how you met him.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a depressingly long time ago. And then – but I originally went because, like, I was just trying to, like, meet people in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, we lived in the same apartment complex.
Yep.
And you also bought you also bought pizza and beer, and I was like, all right, like for $5 I can get like dinner tonight and I can meet people.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, yeah, that'll be fun. And then started just like doing that every week, like when you ran, and it was like a good time lost, like every single time. And then I remember like Eric. Remember Eric?
Mm-hmm. Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buddies.
Eric like
in college.
Eric like Yeah. Eric was a good guy. He like won every week though. So like it like became clear that you could be better at this than someone else.
Yeah.
And that like that was not like super I was like not very interested in poker. I'm like not super it's funny, not a lot, but like a good number I don't know the number, but like it seems like a lot of people who have gone into poker were also like into games or gaming.
Yeah.
Sometimes right. like whether Hearthstone or like chess or something like that, or like what was that other game that was like a really popular
back then was Warcraft 3 and WoW.
There was like another card game that was like really popular. Magic.
Magic the Gathering.
Oh, Magic the Gathering. It's still popular in our day.
There've been I know like Isaac Haxton was like a really high rated like Magic the Gathering player as well. He's like you know super crusher.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like kind of ironic because like I don't really like any of that. Like I've played like very little video games in my life. Mm-hmm. I played like very little games in my life.
Mm.
Like I'm not like super into. I bought like a Switch and like two games because I was like I should do something not involving drinking to like relax after like long sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And I like barely play it.
I do remember when we were in high school though, we would play 13 all the time.
Yeah, we played Thing Lin. I did really enjoy that. So like I think the gamble was in me.
Yeah, that's what it is. The gamble, not always the game.
So poker. Exactly. So poker was kind of like not really love at first sight in a sense, but then you saw that hey, there's opportunity here to make money, right? And I remember back then in college, online poker just started to blow up.
So like I got like pretty into it when we were in college, and then it seemed fun, and then like obviously you know once I was like younger and even dumber, if that's possible, but like apparently that is possible, and didn't like recognize how hyper complicated the game was. Like didn't really recognize how hyper complicated anything is.
Of course.
And then like and also like how hard it can be to like gain competency at something that's like super. One, hyper-complicated is going to be hard also, but, like, it was also super opaque because it wasn't like you could buy a textbook to learn how to play poker, which was, like, kind of like going through school. Yeah. It was, like, my strategy of learning stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you want to, like, learn calculus. You can go – you don't have to, like, invent calculus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I remember –
you know what I mean? Like, if that – so it's, like, if that was, like, the benchmark of learning calculus, good luck. Like, that's going to be – you know, that's going to be super hard. And there wasn't like a ton of relevant reading material, which is like interesting.
There was one though. Dale Brunson wrote his book. I remember reading that book in college.
Nah, I went through it a little bit. Like that's like.
It's a very generic book, though. That is
very, very low level.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, very low level, very generic book for beginners.
So yeah. I don't know. So that's like saying that, like, if you want to, like, learn how to become a scientist, you should watch, like, Bill Nye. Like, you're not, like that's cool. Like, you're going to get introduced to science. But, like, it has nothing to do with, like, actually anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's super.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say that he's teaching his strategy.
Yeah. Also, when we were in college, you know? Poker had just started blowing up, so the level of play was low enough where you didn't have to like think the way that you think now.
Yeah, right?
So at that time, we didn't have to have like a high level strategy to win. It was just, we played and we were just thinking more than the other guy. That's all it was. Whereas nowadays, it's different, I feel.
Yeah, like that's how like a lot of people made a ton of money, which was like, wish I would have been like better at doing that. I don't think I was like very naturally good at it anyways. So like, yeah. So like, that's like a pretty super obvious, but like kind of like something I try to think about all the time where it's like from like a game theory standpoint, like you just have to be better than the people you're playing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean like not in poker, but like in anything. So like you could be like the second fastest runner, like, you know, 100-meter runner in the world if all you do is play the number or race the number one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you're
you lose it. You lose every day.
Yeah.
You just lose every day. So it's like back then, yeah, Din's right. Like it was like super low level, like nobody knew what they were doing. And then there was like some people who like caught on really quick. And I think like naturally having been playing a lot of games, like they're maybe like pretty good at like getting good at games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like pretty quickly, and like that was not something that I was like ever very interested in. And basically there was like this period where like you could really do exceptionally well not being very good. Like the best, like even when you watch like replays of like long online session replays of like the best in the world playing like 14 years ago or something, mm-hmm. it's like a joke. Yeah. Like these are like the best guys, mm-hmm. and it's like, but these guys are like, these guys couldn't like crush like low stakes. Like that strategy wouldn't work at like low stakes now.
Well, back then though, like you said, the complexity of the game, I think then you put it at a good point where like the low level complexity of the games was still there where an average person could still play and not knowing much about the game. Mm-hmm. Because I remember playing online so much. I had like 3 games at the same time. And then I had a bot that calculated odds for me and stuff of that. And at that time I was beginning playing just like you guys, right? And I remember winning like a 10K tournament. Like, mm-hmm. but putting $5 buying, you know? Yeah. And I was like, so me and my roommates were gathering to each other, like next to each other. And then he was doing the same thing. We were all in the same tournament together. And we like decided to just make sure that we divide and conquer the split winnings. We were all in the tournament together. It was crazy though back then. I remember like you said, it was blowing up. I remember we were driving to Tampa. Remember that?
We drove to Tampa a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny when like I first started to like I was super in love with what I was studying in school. So like I was like super like nerdily into physics and like philosophy, and I was religiously into it, where I was like, this is the way I'm gonna do something like super deep and meaningful with my life, you know, and like fuck money and all this. So, like, you know, like I didn't really care as much.
Yep.
Like, and I was like just super into that. So like I was just like cool at like focusing into that. And that was like back when it's like this reinforcing thing too, where like that was like back when I was with Courtney and she was like studying the same exact shit and she was like super in love with it too. So like not only are you, but like your girlfriend is, so like it's like this feedback, mm-hmm. but like you're into it.
Of course, I think that's money, man. Yeah,
but like you have to like make money. And I remember my big goal at like playing online was like, so at the time I didn't have a car. So like when I started like really getting into it, so even like though you have like a good bus system, like walking from like the bus stop to like, you know, coffee talk to like go transcribe for 6 hours or something, like a 45 minute walk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, I'm like spending like 2.5 hours a day commuting almost like with that walk.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was like, if I could just, if I could just make like $10 an hour off my laptop playing poker, like my goal was like super low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just make more than this minimum wage job that you're doing over here to get by.
Yeah, I was like, I bet I could make like $10 an hour and I could save like the commute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that was like the big idea, and like I didn't like really intend on like obviously like you know you talk and like you know you're like I'm gonna make millions, I'm gonna be the best. Like yeah, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But no, like the big goal was like I bet I could do that, mm-hmm. and then that would like solve all my goddamn problems. You know, yeah. That would have been like amazing. That didn't work out. Obviously, that was like terrible. So, but yeah, like my goals with it were like starting off for a long time, like. Pretty low, and then like obviously you always had that thing of like, but I'm me, so I'm gonna be the greatest ever. Also at the same time, like it's like this schizophrenic way of thinking.
Yeah,
and it's yeah. Also you're young, so you don't realize like how terrible you are at everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't like realize like how much insane work, and you like maybe you think you've been in like competitive environments, but really have you been in competitive environments? Like when people are looking to fucking kill you.
Yeah,
like, I don't mean that's like funny, literally right? Kill you, but like, they're looking like they're not like when people are not fucking around.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's funny because I played a lot of Call of Duty in college, right? So I played a lot of Call of Duty in Halo, right? So me and my friends, we played Halo against each other in the dorms. We played so much, and we're like, you know what, guys, let's go to a tournament. And so we get our four guys together. We're playing the tournament. We walk in and we get smashed, and we're like, all right, this is what happens when you go play competitively instead of like pump stuff, like a pub stomping, right? Like
yeah.
We were playing online, we were like so good, we won every game, and then we go to where it's like really matters and it counts,
the pro level. Yeah,
it's not even pro, this is like just going to our local games floor and like do a local tournament. People are serious. And we got smashed the first game. It was not even close. Like, we weren't
really
even close. Yeah, it was crazy.
There goes the self-esteem there.
Yeah, and then you're just like, yeah. Yeah, it's just like, fuck. All right, these guys are serious. These are good. Like, maybe we're not as good as we think. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But, John, let me ask you this, though, right? Obviously, you kept pursuing it afterward, right? So, let's, you know, when you were starting, you know, after college, you know, let's just talk about after college now, right? So, when you're playing it full-time, right? Back then, your younger self, you thought you were decent enough to go this full-time, right? So, what...
I think this is, like, a good amount of arrogance that you need, although, like, you super need to temper it.
Yep.
Where it's like, thinking you can get better at something.
Yep.
You have to be a little bit arrogant, because like maybe not. So it's like you there's like this myth that like if you just work really hard, and like you study that you will just like get better, and that is true, but that doesn't mean you will get better up into a point where you're competitive. Mm-hmm. Like I could go like I like using physical examples for that because like I think it translates well because like everybody thinks that like the mental space is unbounded. Super not true. And it's like, I could go train basketball every day. Like, I'm never getting in the NBA. I'm 5'8". Like, I'm just, it's never happening. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if I told you that, it would probably be bad advice for you to be like, no, just work really hard at it, man. You can do it. It's like, no, you can't do it. Like, you,
hey,
like, you don't.
You can be a bench warmer.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you don't meet the criteria required in order to be good at this game. Or to be good at this thing, or like whatever. I tend to think about things in terms of games, like, or now I do at least. Like, you don't meet the criteria to be good at this thing, so it's like you probably should not expend energy into that.
Yeah, it's like your highest level is not going to be good enough to be the low level of what you're looking for.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I get that. So like you know, so knowing back then, you kind of knew that or no when you were younger.
No, I had no idea. I just like assumed that like I could like get better and wreck these fools. That was like also like some stuff like in my personal life ended up making things like a little bit forced where like the amount of opportunity that I had around me like super became like narrowed, like it like kind of collapsed.
Okay.
And then it was like, so like you, it may seem like you're doing like these weird things or like taking risks or like whatever, but it's like, it's all like about like your available options and like what you're like trying to do. So it's like if like a bunch of your options collapse, like maybe you have like three or four like not great ones, mm-hmm. you like try to pick the one that at least has like some non-zero probability or maybe some high probability of like having an outcome that's desirable.
Yeah.
So that like kind of occurred. And then it was like, all right, I need something to work. this seems to be like something that's like a little bit unbounded and doesn't have like a fixed amount of money tied to it. And also, like, I wasn't very creative, I guess. It's like, it would have been nice to have seen other things, but it's like, you know, me and you and Ben could be talking about, like, there is some, you know, billion-dollar company that doesn't exist that will exist in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And, like, we could be talking about building, but, like, knowing that that's true doesn't mean that we can see it.
That's true.
So it's like, so it's like, there's obviously, like, or that we can do it anyway. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's like, you can't even, like, necessarily, just because, like, there are, so yeah, I didn't like see other, I didn't see other ways of like accomplishing certain things that I wanted to accomplish. And at the time, like, it didn't seem like it was going to be that difficult. It was, or it is. And yeah, I guess I kind of, so like, pursuing it was more by force, it felt like.
So let me ask you this though. That ignorance, not knowing that it could be that hard, wasn't a bliss for you in a way though? Because you keep grinding at it. You see what I'm saying? Like, sometimes not knowing something, it could be a good thing for you. Like, for example, like, let's say that if you knew that this was your ceiling, you didn't want to pursue it, obviously, but you kind of kept it. Yes, you were back to the corner, you had to do this, right? And you saw the opportunity that, hey, you could be really good at this and you can make money out of this, and you weighted your risk and your pros and cons, and poker was the option, right? But knowing that you can get super good at it because you trust yourself, you can say arrogance. I feel like that's more like a self-confidence thing, that, hey, I could be better, you know?
Yeah. So like, I think that's kind of like a necessary arrogance. I mean, I'm using arrogance a bit like flippantly or like, like tongue in cheek. Cause like, I mean, thinking you can do, you need to think that you can do things. But like, thinking that you can do anything is like, okay, probably not true. Like, you can, you know, but like, you also have to be like, have a certain level of self-awareness of like, am I getting better at this? Really? And it becomes very, very tricky to monitor yourself. It's like, you don't know the things you don't know.
Yep.
Obviously, like, you both have had experiences of like, as you in like, likely in your professional lives, like, as you've like understood what you were doing at deeper and deeper levels.
Nope. So like,
Mike's a consultant, so there's not really, it doesn't go very deep there.
I didn't realize that until I was talking. I'm gonna have to go.
No, but going back to what I was saying, like, having that ignorance, not knowing the capacity of what you can know, you want to, and you're still growing and learning about that. I feel like having that ignorance sometimes is good though. You know what I mean? Like,
do you think you surpassed the level that you are at now? Like, the level you're at now, would you have surpassed that if you had known this? Right? If you had known, like, oh, maybe I don't want to be playing poker, and it's not like I can't be the best at it, right? Like, do you think that you've got farther along than if you had known that and just like
quit earlier?
So I feel like I've gotten like progressively better. Like, results have shown that, and then like it's a thing of like, I understand like at least two of the game types like sufficiently well now to like see like how deep the well is. So it's like hard to see like how deep like some area is, because like you just don't understand it well. And so I feel like I'm at that point now. Probably could have gotten there a lot faster. It takes a tremendous amount of study. And then like, I used to like study on training sites like a lot, and like, you used Run It Once a whole bunch for a while. And you kind of like, that's pretty good. And then like, done some minimal work with solvers. I should probably do more. Done other study sessions with like other professionals using solvers and like going through hands and breaking down. And you get like, so like, the games I play in, like, it's slightly less relevant to like really get into the weeds. Like, you know, I need this calling frequency out of the small blind to be exactly 31% or something like that. And it's like, that becomes like pretty less relevant in like the live games.
Mm-hmm. You don't need but, game theory optimal, like, yeah, like best not at strategy all. In this.
Yeah, or like even like trying to like in the live games, like, you're like not going to be able to, you don't have like a HUD when you're playing live, like, actually track your frequencies. So it's like super hard to know.
Yeah.
But like, you kind of get like, like heuristics, like basic themes. You get really deep down in there. You like, you know, I understand, like, you start understanding like pretty deep concepts into the game. And then if you play live for a living, this is like what's tremendously difficult, and you need like a super strong game theory background in order to like do this. I remember having to talk with a friend a few years ago who's like very, very good. He like crushed it back then in the online days. Like, he made like millions. Wow. Like a ton of money. This dude Derek, he's like well known around here. And we used to play in like the downtown game and an OC together, and we just got along. He's like a good dude. And I don't really talk much poker strategy with anybody. I just, it's like it's like kind of boring to me. Not to say for the podcast, but like when you're talking with like another professional about like deep strategy, you're just kind of like, both of you are like, like, do you want to talk about something else?
You can't talk about these like 2% that we're doing.
Yeah, and then like the conversation would have to be so long, and we both kind of know it, and it's like okay. And but like I remember having like a quick little thing with him where I played this hand against this dude Freddie the Fish, who's actually pretty well known, kind of famous a little bit. And he was on Daniel Agranu's blog a few episodes ago. Yeah, wow. got mentioned by name and everything. But that's like nice. The dude's like a super crush. We played a ton together. Like, me and Freddie are like strong acquaintances, and like have played a lot together. If we're in the same room, we like go say hi, I'm like whatever.
Nice.
But I played this hand against him. It was like a big pot. Ended up being like a $14,000 pot or something. And I could go through the hand to like kind of explain it, but like the long story is, like, I ended up basically at like the top of my range, where like I feel like I don't know if I feel like go through these songs. I ended up having like basically the best hand I ever have as played. So like I really did have like the best hand I ever have as played, and it didn't have relevant cards to like block any of his bluffs. So like it didn't block like so basically, you want me to go through the hand, or I don't know how, we're like deviating a lot.
Yeah, let's just go high level on this and not go too deep.
I'm not like good at talking. So long story short is like I to answer your question, I ended up so like from a theoretical standpoint, like it's a call, like it's like a trivial call on my point.
Yeah,
like to like mention like the. Like game theory versus playing live. So like, it's not even super interesting because it's like such a trivial call. And, but he's just like under bluffing it. He's like a very good live player. He kind of like, he plays with like a bunch of like, you know, players who aren't very good. He doesn't really have to bluff much. People overfold. And I was talking to Derek, and he was like, and I was like, yeah, but, and he's like, yeah, that's all true. And he's like, but like, he's just never bluffing. So like, you should just fold.
Yeah,
and he was like, yeah,
so you like
yeah,
know the player was, if you know the player, then you, that's what you should be doing, right?
You're playing
yeah,
the player,
like, yeah,
yeah. He's like yeah, theory wise it's like a trivial call, but like he's just never doing that, so
yeah, because yeah, it's yeah. just him,
you play him so instead like, of the game
yeah,
yeah. So
yeah. yeah, so like being able to like play exploitably is like super hard profitably, but it is the most profitable, like it's more profitable than playing optimally. If you can do it. And then like I think over the years of like playing live, also like I play with a lot of the same players all the time, once you can like figure that out, it's like super mentally taxing to do, because like you're kind of like varying your strategy, like player dependent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but like you can really start crushing like once you can do it. Like it becomes very, very hard to get good at, like it takes a lot of like work and practice and stuff, but like then you can just like really start doing some wild shit.
Yeah, I remember back when I was playing in college, I would start, I don't know, I knew how people played so well to the point where, like, I was calling people's cards out, and people would just be like, what the hell, like, it's like, you know how, like, Daniel Negreanu was calling out cards back in the day?
Oh, yeah, back in the days. He called it on the dots.
He would knew exactly the hand, and I did that, like, I don't know, not as much as he did. Maybe, like, I did it a handful of times, but every time I called out the right hand, it felt so good to like call.
Even though you lost. Even though you lost. He's
no, and that was like how I would call, like how I would call out. I'd be like, I know you have King 9 here because that's the only hand you could have. So I'm folding. And I would show them what I'm folding, and they'd be like, you are a fucking crazy guy. How did you know this? Like, it's basically I know how you're playing, and that's, and it's exactly that. Like, it's very exploitative, but like, that's, you're the guy that would do this and only do these type of things, so I know that.
Yeah,
throw it away. So
I feel like the only people that was able to read back then was Sean.
Yeah. That was super easy. To read,
wow. Shots fired, man. Shots fired.
No, I remember one day, this is an off topic, but like, yeah, one day we were playing a hand and he's like, and he literally looked at his cards and said, King seven. And then he said his hand out loud,
not knowing what
he was saying.
That's really.
He called it out his hand and was playing, and I just was like, "How can you even still play this hand?" With
that's really good.
He just like called his hand out himself. Yeah, he was bad.
Yeah. All right, but hey, so going back to the original conversation, though. So John, it sounds like you know, back then, in order for you to make that leap, you the professional, it sounded like you kind of knew your strength, though. I feel like you had the arrogance and self-confidence to learn, you know what I mean? To kind of pick up the game up. And I feel like that's your strength, you know, because I feel like you were comfortable to learn and pick up the game a little bit more. It seems like you adapted throughout the time, right? So like, based on that, right, now what you have today, you think your strength has switched a little bit differently in playing poker?
It's like kind of interesting because I didn't really play much for like a really long time. Like, just didn't have like the money to do it. Like, worked jobs, like paid bills. I always studied a lot, or like not a lot, but like,
yeah,
I would study and like have it there. And then it was funny, like when Black Friday happened like 10 years ago or something, I had like just gotten back to playing online like 4 weeks earlier.
For those people who don't know, like, Black Friday to poker people is the Friday that PokerStars.
Yep.
They like,
yeah, like the.
Poker Room,
Full Tilt and Poker Star is like the Department of Justice seized the domains.
Yep.
And like, so online poker wasn't like technically illegal. It was like too new. So like, there wasn't like really laws about it.
Any regulation?
But there was like some. But there's like apparently some, I don't know, I'm not like the most well versed in this. There's like some stuff about like the way that money was transferred where there was like some ways in which I guess they could.
You're allowed to play poker, but you are not allowed to put money in onto these sites to play poker. Or to
something like
or
that.
Yeah.
So what happened is that it violated a lot of different states that did not allow gambling. That's what happened. And so...
apparently, like, Full Tilt and Poker Stars, like, could have come back into the American market if they wanted to. Like ACR has done, like America Card and like all these other ones. But like, they do so well, they're such behemoth companies, they're like one company now, that apparently the thing is like, they want to wait until like it's completely non-trivial that it's legal, like until all the laws are passed,
mm-hmm.
So that when they do come back into the American market, they have no problems.
Yeah.
So like, you know, there's like no bad reputation or anything, mm-hmm. And then they'll just like eat up the whole goddamn market, but like, we'll see if that ever happens.
Yeah, but that Black Friday was a day where like, the Department of Justice actually like put their foot down and was like, all right, this is illegal now, and we're gonna actually take action. And so all the poker sites went down, people's balances on there, people had millions of dollars on there, and that was like gone. Like, they couldn't take that money off anymore. So it was it's a bad day for poker and for poker players in general that were around. Everyone remembers that day.
Yep.
And I think, and then apparently that eventually got resolved like 7 years later or something. Like, when PokerStars bought Full Tilt, they honored Full Tilt's debt. And then like, there was a thing where like Full Tilt was like insolvent because of like,
they couldn't pay it back. There
was like corruption apparently. There's like a little documentaries about it and stuff, mm-hmm. of like bad actors there who were like, just like trying to, they were like taking up too much money and then expecting to rake more.
Yeah, they didn't have so like enough. They weren't holding as much as they should have.
Yeah, they didn't have enough liquidity. Yep. Yeah,
they couldn't have the money to guarantee all the account balances. So like, if everybody had like cashed out at once, like, which is like after that happened, what like needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then like, even if they wanted to, they couldn't.
Yeah,
because like, they didn't have it.
Yeah.
So and then like, PokerStars bought out Full Tilt, and then they honored everything.
Yeah.
So like, they just paid everybody. Which is like, but I think that took like 7 years. Like, people have like millions on there. Like,
yeah. Well, so they're just, 7 years, they're like, what am I supposed to do? So,
yeah, I think I remember there was a class action lawsuit against them. I remember that too. So,
Yeah, there's
makes sense.
There's a lot that went on that day.
Yeah. So now, John, but now knowing that though, right, today's day, right, what you play, while playing poker, what do you consider your strength in it, do you think? I'm just wondering. Because you're more self-aware now of yourself, right? Your games have evolved.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've just like worked tremendously harder than a lot of the people I play against. Like that's maybe my strength is like what is it called? I don't know, like being okay with like bashing my head. I'm forgetting the word. Being okay with like just bashing my head into the wall a trillion times.
Oh, you mean like mentality?
Masochist.
Masochist.
Yeah. I'll just keep pushing and like work really hard. Also, I play in a lot of games where like people don't take the game, like people are playing mostly, like they're competitive, but like they're just never good. They're not going home and studying and breaking down hands and thinking about it for 5 hours. They have jobs and they're doing stuff. So it's like, it's like unrealistic to think that they're going to beat somebody, not because like I'm necessarily all that great, but somebody who's like really not fucking around. Like I was saying before, like I'm like going to go home and figure out how to beat you.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's hard to like, I'm not saying like I'm working harder, so like I'm beating like these guys because they're lazy. It's like I'm not playing against professionals mostly, and these guys have jobs and families and lives, and like you know, they're doing stuff. So like, unrealistic that like they would be able to like beat me long term because I'm just trying much harder.
Yeah.
So I think that helped a ton.
There's
I think
a lot
like
of
a bunch
pros
of the
that are
stuff.
Like that too. Like I've heard of Phil Galfon talk about, and he's just like, I just worked harder than everyone else, and that's smarter. I just like made sure that I put a lot more effort in and put more work in.
I mean,
and I think
like
all the other stuff I've studied has really helped. So it's like, you know, still studied like a good amount of physics because I'm like super into it, and like study a lot of or like into philosophy. Taking a lot of courses on my own, like a lot of college courses that you can like find online, bought a lot of books, read that, listen to a lot of lectures, like listen to a lot of like scientific podcasts, and like not just like general shit, but like kind of like in the weed shit. And I like take the courses, I do the courses, and I think that helps you, if anything, just learn how to think. So like I think physics, even like taking like the first like few courses, like, you know, what is it, like taking like physics 1 through physics 2, 3, whatever, and then like, you know, taking like relativity, or like you don't even have to get to like quantum mechanics, although I do think that helps a lot, but like taking like, you know, I'm forgetting what it's called, like physics 1, it's like kinematics or whatever, or like Newton's laws, or like I think doing that helps you learn how to think, because like you don't realize like how terrible humans think, how terrible you think. Yeah. So it's like, no, because like a lot of stuff is like super unintuitive or non-obvious. And it's like being able to like think formally and like to have formal rigid structures and to show like to actually like be shown consistent results like in like that space that are just completely unintuitive, completely bizarre. And then it kind of helps you check yourself, because I think a lot of people go into something and they're like, oh, no, I know that works. They're like, yeah, I mean, probably not. Like you probably just don't. Like, what are the odds, you know, how that works? And then like the studying like complicated systems, how like how any like rule-based system like becomes almost maximally complex, like almost immediately, which means it becomes like as complicated as it can become, which means it's like non-predictive. So like you don't really need to like get into that much, but like you could just say like, oh shit, this thing is maybe so complicated that like I can't predict it. And then I maybe really need to study like how all that shit works and try to come up with like heuristics to like even have some semblance to see somewhere. So it's all like trying to say that like your brain probably sucks, you probably don't think very well, this thing you're trying to do, it's probably so complicated and has so many levels that like you should maybe like tread lightly and really study and think really, really hard, because it's probably way more difficult than you think it is. And then but also like have like the spirit to be like, oh, that sucks, I'm gonna give up. But like, no, go do it.
Yeah.
But like, it's gonna take like a tremendous amount of effort. So like, go. I mean,
just
that's
be aware that that's what you need.
Yeah, and most people go into shit where it's like, oh, I already know how that works. You're supposed to do this and this, and oh, I can do that. Or and it's like, yeah, all right, cool. Like, go compete with somebody who's go.
I remember in college, poker was on autopilot when I was playing, because this is like, if this happens, this happens. This is what I do. Whereas now it's just completely different. And it's like you said, like it gets very complicated if you're actually thinking about it.
Yeah. And then like, even like, you know, starting a business or anything like that, like it's like, it's going to, if you're really trying to do it, goodbye to your life, you know, low probabilities of success, going to take everything. You should really know that domain like insanely. And then like, you can come up with like other stuff, or like you shouldn't like compete in like, you shouldn't go into hyper competitive shit because like, that's just like the death of money.
I mean, yeah, like, unless you have a niche, it's a whole different story, right? It's like you said.
Yeah, so like, you make money in like niche areas, like that's where you make it. And then like Peter Thiel like famously said, like competition is for losers.
Yeah, zero and, to one, like the book. I remember
It's like you don't want to be like I'm not. There is this thing in me where I played with like really good players and like well known players and like people who are like super tough. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to like play again. Like the game is actually interesting when that happens. And like they're doing a bunch of shit, I'm doing a bunch of shit, and like we both have like likely studied a bunch of like the same stuff. And like they're, oh, he's choosing that bet sizing at this frequency and that texture, and like,
yeah.
You know, like I kind of know
other. You're trying to like level it.
Yeah. Other. It's like watching like maybe like good chess or something, but it's like, I'm not trying to play those kind of players every day. Like I'm trying to play like.
Yeah. That's not the people you're making money off of. It just makes things interesting.
Yeah. Like it's like, it just makes it like the competitive thing. So like I am pretty competitive, I guess. So it's like, you want to do that, but it's like, you know, you're playing basketball for a living, like, you know, pickup games. Like maybe you want to play with a guy who doesn't even know how to dribble.
No.
You know, like.
If you always want to play somebody better.
You know, like it,
that's what you're saying. Like, well, so, Mike, if you played NBA players every day in basketball, you'd be happy.
I'd be happy.
They crush you like 100-0.
It's fine. It's fine though.
That one time you get a point, that's when you get that's excited.
It makes me proud. Listen, the one time I could beat Hussein, I'll score a point on him, I'm happy.
That's not how I lived, right? So the reason I played poker was because the first time I played poker, I won. I won that tournament.
Like, did you really?
Yeah, no, it was like a little $5 game with like
so
12 of us.
Got hooked right there.
Yeah.
Sink.
As soon as the first game I played, I won, and that was it. I was like, all right, I can win this game. Right? The rubber this is a game I can win. Where, yeah, if I lose every game, go play basketball. I lose every game. I get demoralized. I'm not gonna play that again. Why do I want to put myself through that misery?
So pretty much your gambling instinct activated at that point.
It's interesting too, like even like deviating away from poker, where it's like in anything, you need to like be able to do that while also having like a really strong work ethic to like get super better. Because like the only way you can like type or crush at anything is one, by like playing people who are really bad, but also if you actually can get exceptionally good and play against people who are really bad, or like you never know how the market's going to shift. So it's like, people do get better over time at like anything, even, you know what I mean? So it's like, you kind of have to be like running really fast to not fall behind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So but, it's like
the second, third,
I mean, that's like
now
with poker,
that's
with anything, you know?
Like the second, third, fourth time I played, I lost. So then it just like pushes you to get better. That's the thought that's when I get better. But like the first time I played, I won. I was like, oh man, I can win. And so that's what like urged me that I could get there. If I always lost, I would just give up. I would be like, all right, this is something I can't win at. I think I'm done. Like,
so John,
do something else.
So John, we know how to bait Robert now. Next thing. We just gotta bait Robert in a little bit.
Just give me the first line out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you gotta do.
Hey,
that's really good. That's funny.
Yeah. No, but John, it sounds like though, I mean, obviously having that awareness. And not only that, but you know, understanding the grind, like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Kobe Bryant with his, you know, basketball, you know, because he didn't become overnight really good like that, you know?
Yeah.
The grinding mentality though, like, you know, going above and beyond to actually, you know, to understand your own skill set, your own habits. And then not only to drill down, because you know, it seems like you have a good recollection of memories of the hands too. Oh, I could have done this way in this hand. Because just hearing you talk about your past hands, I'm like, shit, I would never remember what happened 5 years ago with that hand. You know what I mean?
I forget the last
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really
that is something that's like a little, I think that helped. I just remember like all the hands. Like, I don't know. I just, my memory
maybe works
a little
bit that
way.
That's great.
I think it helped.
Yeah.
But
it's like LeBron. LeBron remember his plays from 5-10 years ago. Like, he remembers them really well. It's crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that. I don't know.
I mean, amazing basketball player remember plays. Oh, I should have done this and that. Like, they remember exact play that happened like 10 years ago in certain games. It's nuts.
Yeah.
He talked about it in an interview. Yeah.
I get, and maybe it's just like I'm like staring at this shit all the time. So it's like, maybe like more like it's stories that like I understand maybe better. Just like a way of thinking or something.
But that's good because you self-analyze yourself and you're like, okay, if I recognize this situation the next time, this won't happen again next time. That's the thing with the same player. You know what I mean?
Like
how to deviate and stuff like that. And like what he show up with here in these specific spots a lot. And like, that it all does help. And I think that helps. I think something that maybe gives me a bit of an edge over the people I play with, even like some of the good players that I've like very good players that I've played with is maybe like, so like you can do like we can discuss a hand and like go online and like pull up some software and like break it down and we can spend like 25 minutes talking about that one hand and like how it folds into like all the other strategies. And like you can do that and like you can find, you know, training sites where people do that and they like teach you like how to think about stuff and like you can literally just dissect it for like 20 minutes.
So let me ask you this though, what's stopping you to do that yourself, to start like a YouTube blog and just talk about that kind of stuff? Because to be honest with you, I've got the time, you play it, and you have the knowledge to do that. And trust me, there's people out there who's looking for this kind of stuff.
Well, all right, so two things, I guess. Like going back in like the, you could take 20 minutes doing that. I think like maybe something that I have an edge in, which I think a lot of other people do, and like you have to in order to like be able to like not just like get crushed or like not do poorly, is when you're doing it in real time, you don't have 20 minutes.
Of course.
You have a minute.
Yeah.
So it's like being able to like implement in real time is a big thing. And that's like a really hard thing that I've like, even somebody that I played with last night, who's young and like hungry and like that dude I was talking that like owes all that money, but like, he'll be okay, I guess. But like, his ability to implement in real time is like not great. And like, you end up just making a lot of mistakes. And I think that's just like a bunch of practice.
That
maybe
comes with practice. I've also seen that like after playing for a long time, I played a lot in college, stepping back from the poker scene and coming back in. I know, as I'm making a decision, my mind goes, oh no, you shouldn't have done this. This is the wrong play. It's just a slower reaction. Normally before I would just be like, this is the first thing that comes to my mind. Right. And now I'm like full. No, I should have called. I should have raised. Like, it was just I should have done this. If I was faster, if I was playing all the time and practicing,
the muscle
would just come up and it would be like, this is what I'm supposed to do. But I was like, in the moment, I'm not thinking. And then I get to the point where like my mind catches up and is like, actually, you should have done this. And it's always right after I decide to do something.
That happened to me a few times. So I remember 2 years ago, I went to the Hard Rock to play poker just because I was bored. And me and my friend decided, oh, wow, there's a high hand of $1,000 every fucking hour. I was like, hell yeah. $1,000 an hour? Why not? Yeah. So we played one and two. Our table hit the high hand. One of the guys did it. But I was like, but then I was so slow reacting. Like, wait. Should have done this. Yeah, I was like, I guess I fold.
I'm like, man, I think this is what I do. And then at the very last second or after, maybe a few minutes later, I'd be like, actually, that's the wrong move. I know that this is the right move is. I just didn't recollect it as fast.
Yeah,
and it's like interesting too, like with poker, we're like, so like oftentimes people will like ask me like, you know, how do you like this? Is they'll give me like some hand. Like, my friend was just doing this like the other day. He was in Vegas and he was like, this is like the setup. Like, what did you think? And he doesn't play professionally, he's like, just a buddy that was there playing. He was like, went with his wife. Mm-hmm. And so usually that's just a bad question because like that's not how the game functions. Like, this is not what I'm telling the guy, but like, when people ask you a question like that, it's like, so the game is probabilistic, so like, all the strategies are going to be probabilistic. So like, there's like five right answers that you're going to like do some of the time, and like explaining why there are five and like what the five are. And like, also it all depends on like what you're doing in like 18 other spots. So it's like, how are you balancing this? What frequency are you doing this? Like, what is this? Like, what is this? Like, there's like a ton of variables, but like people are like, this is how you play jacks or like something like generic like that.
This is, that's, and it's like, that it's, is, that is how like you and me played back in the day when we started playing poker. That was it. Everything had an exact strategy. If you have jacks, you do this. If you do that, you do
people
this.
Try to
and that's how that's how they're like
the basic
that as like a rule, whereas now the game's more complicated.
Well, like, so the game's probabilistic, so like your strategy is probabilistic, but like people go in there with a discrete strategy.
So
it's like you're bringing a discrete strategy into something that's probabilistic, so it's like you're not even like, so like it's a bad question I'm saying, because like you're not even like you're not even playing you're trying to use a strategy for a different game. Like, that's not the game. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't like make, it's like, it's like I know what you're saying, like I know what you're trying to say, and like I'm not like, oh, that's like a bad question. I'm just like, usually my answer is like, I don't really know, man. Like, because like I honestly, like, I don't really, and I go like, what do you think, like, what are you doing now? I don't like talking to her anyways usually. But like, what are you doing in all these other spots? Or like, what were you thinking about this? Like, so usually my question is like, I don't really know. Or my answer is like, I don't really know, but like, what were you thinking? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then like, based on their thinking, I can kind of like try to see like what they were trying to do. And I'll be like, you know, usually, and they'll be like, what would you have done? I'd be like, you know, and then I'm like, I'm honest. Like, I probably would have done like a few different things. But like, based on what you were saying, you were thinking about that guy and like the spot you're in, like maybe that wasn't reasonable, or maybe that was reasonable, or like, mm-hmm. maybe it wasn't. And then like, there are like standard lines you can say, like,
yeah,
you can just give like a standard answer where like this, I can give you like a standard answer that's not bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's not bad. Like, it's, you know, but like, it's not going to help.
It doesn't work
much.
All the time. Like, a typical
standard answer. Hey, yeah. Dribble the ball this way.
which is cool. Like, where I was like listening to this like years ago, the Tim Ferriss podcast, where he had like some guy on, I forget. And he was talking about like this guy, like met this like very, very successful CEO that he got to talk to for a minute. And he like, this is like when he was younger. And obviously he wanted to ask him like a trillion questions, mm-hmm. you know? And he was talking about how he learned, how he was like, he asked him like a bad question, and then like how the guy like stopped talking to him, basically like stopped responding to his emails. Like, he had like an in, and it wasn't because like the guy was being a dick, but he asked him a question. He said something like, it was something like, you know, you'd say like 22 or something, where it was like, how do I become successful? Something like that, mm-hmm. which is like, how are you using the word successful?
Yeah. Yeah, quantify that. You know, how do you quantify that, first of all, too?
Yeah, how do you qualify that? Like, what do you mean? Yeah. And you're also asking me a question where the answer is 20 hours.
Yeah.
You know, or the answer is like 1,000 hours. You know, it's like, so you're like basically saying you want me to give you like 1,000 hours of my time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that. And it's like, you just can't answer that question. Mm-hmm. And also it's like unreasonable for somebody. So it's like, he's like, I learned that I just asked him a bad question.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, you know, like I should have been like, what are 5 books you recommend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, he can answer that question.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm interested in X. I know that you work in X. What are like 5 books that you can recommend, or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like, you know, so like oftentimes, like when people tell me that, or they ask me that, I'm like, hey, these are some training sites that I used. I recommend like, you know, maybe taking like a course in game theory, or like, maybe taking like some basic level physics courses to like help you learn how to think. And I was like, this is what I recommend. Like, this is what I did.
Yeah.
So like, if you're asking me, that means you maybe value my opinion. Maybe you shouldn't. But like, this is what I did. And like, answering you getting like are you interested in getting the actual answer to your question? That's going to like just take you a lot of time. And if you're like just not into willing to be able to do that, then like, I'll just give you a generic. And usually I know the person somewhat well enough that I get like whether or not they really give a fuck. Mm-hmm. And then you can like adjust how you speak to them, and then like still honest, but I'll just be like, yeah, that probably wasn't bad. But like, they're like not, I know, because I know them well enough that like they're not gonna go and do that. Mm-hmm. So like, me being like, you should go do this, like, they're not. But like, people who I know are legitimately trying to get better and like taking it seriously, I'll be like, this is the shit that I do. So it's like, see if it works.
Yeah.
And
so, John, let me ask you this, though, right? You know, obviously, like, now that you know you've been playing for so long, you know, if you were named, if you can name 3 pros and 3 cons about being a poker player, what would those be in your mindset for yourself? Because your lifestyle is different from everybody else's. Just for you, just wondering.
So those have, like, varied over time, of course.
No, but right now, based on your current status today, 3 pros and 3 cons, what your current state of mind.
Yeah, so like, con is that it's a very capital intensive start. So okay. It's like, you have some businesses that like require like sweat capital.
Mm-hmm. Sweat equity,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like, you're gonna like, you can like work your way into stuff. But in poker, like, you're leveraging money.
Mm.
Gotcha.
So like you need to like be able to do that.
Okay.
That's like kind of a that's a big con because like startup costs are like a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. Also, so like games still are pretty vibrant, but people have like at the mid levels or higher levels gotten better. Like over time, they have gotten better. So it's not like the Wild West where like people are making like. I'm like thinking about it a little bit more because I don't play that much No Limit Hold'em. I play mostly like Pot'em and Omaha. And mm-hmm. people still are making these gigantic mistakes in PLO. But like, remember back in the day where somebody's like, Queen Four suited is my favorite hand. I like always, you know, call an eight.
I remember that.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I always call an eight bet with Queen Four suited.
Yeah.
And so then you're like, but like, and you would be like, that wasn't like one guy at the table. That was like five of the guys at the table.
Yeah. Everyone you know had their mean? Favorite hand that didn't, that they always call it, but was a horrible, yep. horrible hand. Just in general. Yeah.
Or they make like, you know, a straight on a paired and flushed board and like it's just impossible for you to have a bluff.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still calling 400 big blinds on the river. You know, like they just aren't like people in my time playing some No Limit now, like people just gotten like the adjustment is like pretty not good that most people make, but it also makes the game a lot worse and like they just gotten super tight.
Like super
or what
big.
They think is Yeah, okay. or what they think is super tight.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. it's like, so there's not as much, like, it's not as profitable. And, like, to even though it is so profitable, like, you do have to, like, do a bunch of stuff to, like, do that. So you have to be much better. And then, like, it's become, like, tremendously more boring. So I was saying, like, I don't like poker. Like, it's a pretty boring thing mostly. Like, people have, like, this misconception where it's, like, you know, sexy or fun or something, and it's like I don't really. It's like pretty mechanical. The
so
stuff.
Is that a con though? Or is that a pro though? I guess let me ask you that.
I think that's maybe a con, like you know, not really liking what I do all that much. Also, like I don't think it has any social okay. value.
So no social value. So, but playing different players eventually, like you don't think that adds social value.
No. I mean social value. Like I'm not. Making anything in the world better besides like
oh you know, gotcha so society wise mm-hmm. I see what you're saying got it got
yeah
it.
Yeah which like I think some people are just like fuck that make money which like I get like you need to like earn a living and stuff but like as a human you want to feel like you're like connected to your community in some way and then yeah. like the poker community like I do know a lot of people everybody knows me I'm like pretty well known in the area that I've like pretty well known like throughout Orlando Tampa a little bit. And like people know who I am, they've just been around. And like there is like a bit of a community aspect there, but it's like a weird community aspect because like it is competitive and like you are trying to win each other's money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's maybe kind of like having work friends.
Yeah.
But you're trying to take each other's fucking job.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That makes
so like
sense.
You can like, yeah, so like you can like walk away and like have a coffee or have lunch or something, and like you know it's like a nice guy, normal people, and then maybe those people like that you do end up like really liking, you just like try not to play with, you know, against much and stuff. But it's like,
but is that
it's hard. It's hard to make friends, real friends, actually, because of the game. You're saying,
yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like, it's probably just hard to make real friends as you get older, anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like. Because like yeah. and like everybody's working all the time. Everybody's like grinding.
Or they have a family.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah. So that's a con where like there are like negative aspects of the community where like you're doing a profession where like maybe you were building something or like you know you had this like goal mission of like you know we're gonna go to the moon. You know that would probably be a lot more fulfilling and like you know you could like bond more with people.
But so, you can go to the moon, we have money. You can still go to the moon, you have money. Look at Bezos. So
yeah, apparently that's what it is.
That's
yeah.
So what are the three pros then?
Yeah, what are the three pros then for you?
Pros, I think that it earning potential is really high. Like I'm not even playing like I vary from playing like lower stakes to like mid stakes.
Yeah.
And then like the games fluctuate, like especially the live games where it might start off like even like the games that are like if we're 1-3 blinds, which are like hyper low stakes, we'll play closer to like a 2-5, and then like if the right guys get there, maybe all of a sudden we're playing like a 10-20 or something, like it just blows up. So like the stakes become that's happening a lot less last couple months. So like the stakes vary a lot, but like even at like the lower stakes, you can still make a tremendous amount of money. You can make a lot of money. You know, it's in the network I'm in now, which I don't know if it's like good to talk about here or whatever. You can end up being owed a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
Which is like not very good.
That's it doesn't help the cycle, I guess, with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, it's a kind of, that's like a bit of something I've been dealing with for a while, which is like not good for me. Yeah. So like earning potential is good. I think it has skill sets that can translate over into other domains. And I think like just having to like work really hard, having to like go out there and like not have things guaranteed. You know what I mean? Like you actually have to like dig the gold out of the earth. You know what I mean?
I guess it's almost like sales is all commission based. Nothing's guaranteed though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like even having like a sales system that like you get hired and they train you.
I guess
like I was saying before, like there was like no textbooks or anything. Like there were some forms or whatever, but like you go in and like figure it out, buddy. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like being able to like use every skill set you can, like fail a whole bunch of times. And like having gone through that process, I think has like made me stronger and more resilient. But it's like also like a super dangerous proposition because it's like maybe it just kills you.
Yeah.
So it's like you know, you're gonna set yourself on fire and then like maybe you come out stronger, maybe you just like don't.
Yeah.
And so like I think that's a super risky thing to do. I don't really, again, like initially like things were kind of by force. So it was like I didn't have like a ton of things that I saw as options available to me. So like I like kind of did what I thought I had to do. Gotcha. So like pro, I think is like, it can make you, that's not like specific to poker. I think it's specific to like doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Like on your own. As a mentality, make you a little bit more self-confident, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah. Or like independent. So, or like,
independent,
like
you have to go out. Yeah.
So it's like, I think that's with anything, like, you know, you've started a business before and it's kind of like, even like when things don't go well, that can be informative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like learning how to like deal with that and like learning how to like move forward. So like that's not specific to poker.
I think learning
like
through
poker
failure is also very strong learning technique.
Yeah, super, super strong. Yeah.
Actually, funny thing, mentioning that, sorry, side topic a little bit on that part. Learning through failure for me, especially through my small business, I've been going to a lot of the, I've been guest speakers for a lot of the undergrad classes about my small business and the failures I've gone through it. Talking to them about it, it made me realize why it happened and then how I was able to trigger that or think of different ideas behind it afterward. Mm. It's almost like self-reflection with therapy yourself. Yeah. You know? And then I posed a question, hey, how would you guys have it done differently and get different ideas, different perspective? That kind of helped because to understand their generation as well. So yeah. It has been interesting on that kind of thing. Yeah,
that's really good, and I like tremendously admire that. Like, even if somebody like, you know, it doesn't work out well for them, like to be able to get like kicked in the fucking teeth and get back up. Like, I have a tremendous amount of respect for that because like that's just very hard, and especially if it happens a bunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like people who like keep getting up. Like, I'm like, all right, cool. And I mean, like, you know, like
But John, that means you should be a big admirer yourself, though, because listen, you've gone through a lot of stuff, and you know, look where you are today, though. So,
I know. I guess I didn't actually want to die. So it's like kind of the options, right? Like you keep going, or like,
yeah,
what the fuck are you gonna do? So like, I don't know about that as much for me, as much as just like, I guess I like just really didn't want to go kill myself, so it's like kept going, keep going, baby.
Here we go.
I'm just saying, you know, you should be proud of yourself because listen, you've gone through your ups and downs and you've been killing it. So, and the thing is that like, so now that you know we understand the pros and cons a little bit now, right? So let's say that you know we know that this is for those listeners who wants to play poker in this generation, because now that the game has gone so complex, right? And now let's say that for this current generation, they want to play poker full time and they have no choice but to play poker though. What would one or two advice be though, in a sense? Like, let's say that they have no choice. This is the profession they chose and, you know, and they're stuck with it.
So like, likely they have more choices. Again, like I was saying before, like I felt like things, no, I was saying like, I felt like things are a bit by force. I was like in a unique spot that like yep. I wouldn't like want other people to be in. But like yeah, I likely had more choices. Like to be like honest, like I probably just wasn't very aware or creative enough to like see like other things. Yep. And it's kind of like just stunted by like not being able to see as like broadly or deeply or anything like that as I wish mm-hmm. I would have been able to.
Yep.
So I guess my first thing is like likely you if anybody who wanted advice and likely you have more choices.
Don't do this, you have more choices, you know.
But if they chose to, anyways, yeah. What would the advice be?
It's one advice.
It's funny. So, like that young kid that I was mentioning before, I mean, kid, he's like in his early, he's like in, almost in his mid 20s, but like, just talking to him a bit ago, because I staked him for like a minute. And then he just like wasn't performing well in like spots that really matter. Like he, when he started losing his, the quality of his play went down tremendously. And like, that's just terrible. Cause like, you're just going to lose. You know what I mean? Like there's
lose there, more yeah, just by playing worse.
And like the game functions in a way in which like nothing, like again, it's probabilistic. Nothing works at 100% frequency. So like, it doesn't work every time. Like it's profitable over a large sample.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't work. And like, there's been, I'm like kind of, at least in the games I play in, like famous for like just being the dude who like plays to the absolute end. And but also like John stuck like 3 or 4K and it's like going from like the biggest loser to the biggest winner. Because like just keep going. Mm-hmm. It's gonna work. Keep
persistence.
Going. Yeah, like I've worked super hard on like what I'm doing and like I feel like I understand the players and like I just like I think that's like actually kind of a big strength that I've developed over time is like not my like the difference between like my game and my decision, like obviously everybody plays better when you're winning than when they're losing because like you're just like your confidence is up, but like I've just been losing so much, like I've played so much and I've spent so many sessions where I've been like losing that doesn't mean anything anymore, like my heart is dead, my heart died a long time ago, so it's like I just keep going and I like pull it the fuck out more often than not, luckily not like patting myself on the back, but it's like kind of known for that a bit where it's like you just like claw it back as so like the quality of my game when I'm losing or I'm winning relatively the same, I think, like I don't really deviate much, like I just keep doing the same stuff and like maybe like if I learn new information I'll like adjust a little bit, but like some of the younger guys like they're just not as used to it and then like you know I had to stop
but that
like,
that takes time his game. But that takes time to build it, that kind of habit though,
it takes time, it like again like takes like just like
self-awareness
again, like
awareness,
yeah, and like the being able to like get your like kicked in the teeth and like keep going at a high quality or something, you know what I mean, like your team's down by 10, you're not like you're not taking low frequency shots, you know, like you're still like you're still resilient. Going you're still
just know that your system is gonna work
it's about practice, like, you know, it's about practice.
I forget like what was the you said like advice or something or I don't know.
No, I mean, that's a good advice though, because it's about grinding the work, keep practicing, but also build that self-awareness. That's what you're saying.
Oh, somebody who's like looking to get into it. Like one, I honestly don't think it's a great thing to do. Yeah. Socially, it's not very good. Community-wise, not great. Yeah. I think there are other things that, like you could pursue.
Hey, I said advice. Don't scare them off. Yeah. Don't scare them off. I said advice.
No, that is advice. Like that's real. Also like oh yeah so I was talking to this kid that's where I was going where it was like I was like you can't I was like whether or not it's poker or like a business or you want to be a doctor or you want to be a lawyer, like something that's going to take like a really high percent chunk of your time, I was like either do it or don't do it,
100% or nothing.
And I was like you wouldn't start a business and be like I'm going to do it 3 nights a week. It's like no, your business is going to fail. Like you either, I was like, this is going to take 90 to 100 hours of your week every week. And like, you're going to have to study, you're going to have to implement in real time. Like if this is something you want to do, again, I don't recommend doing it, but like, if this is something that like you want to do, it's going to take everything. And I would be like, you're not going to be like, I'm going to be a doctor on the weekends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't work that way. Like you have to like fucking do it. And I was like, do you want to do that? Like, is that like the life you want for right now? And it's, especially when you're starting, like you're just likely not very good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's going to take a tremendous amount of work. And it's like, is this something, or do you want to, and like, he has a job and stuff. And I was like, or do you know, you have a job. Do you want to like hang out with friends, girls, you know, like enjoy being young. And I was like, I think that that's like completely, I mean, an okay thing to do, like enjoy your youth. And like, cause you're not gonna be young forever. And I was like, you should want to leverage your youth, but also like, maybe he's not a fucking robot. Maybe he has a heart. Like he wants to experience some life, you know? So like my advice was like, do it hyper-focused or don't do it at all.
Yeah. Got it. That's good. No, that's great advice.
But that's my advice for anything though. Like anything, like either really, but then the thing is like, you have to like figure out like, but like entailed in the, or embedded in that is like a ton of shit where it's like, so like doing something because you want to do it, I don't think is very good. Understanding like how like competitive environments work, how markets work a bit, how resilient is this market, understanding like how your ability to acquire competency in this domain, and like the level of competency that's required to be like profitable or competitive. So like there's embedded a lot of stuff. Like again, like your advice to me if I wanted to play basketball professionally wouldn't be like, well, John, either do it or don't do it. Your advice should have been don't do it. You know, like don't do it. Like you don't fit the criteria to be.
So, like, but John, I believe you though. I believe in you, John.
So I think understanding all this stuff and like how all this works is, I mean, you just have to study a bunch of different things. You have to like, try to listen to a bunch of different people who have been successful. And like, you know, you have to understand like how humans work, how like, you know, your mind works a bit. How you work, how people progress over time, like, you know, certain economics quality, or like some, you have to understand like how certain markets work, how the nature of markets work to a certain, to at least like not a, like a super general degree. You have to be like super specific and like to understand like what you can get good at, what getting good at means. And then so that would be like my advice. And then like pros, like you can make like, even like at the low, like at the lower middle stake, like the games are decently resilient, you can make good money. I mean, you could likely, if you put that amount of effort into something else, you'd likely make good money at that too, maybe. Maybe that's becoming less true in our generation, where it seems like, you know, a lot of people just, like, have a very hard time finding any sort of job that pays anything.
It's not true. And you just put everything into Bitcoin. And then that's how you do it. You know what? From this conversation, what I heard is, you know what? I'm going to go 100% and I'm going to get on the Warriors next year. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
I'm gonna go be on the Warriors. 5'5", Robert Dinh. You're gonna see it. You're gonna see it next year, guys. So it's gonna happen.
Next Jeremy Lin.
100% or nothing. I'm gonna go 100%. That's it. All right, and we're done.
Yeah, and I would. Good. And I would suggest picking something else. But like, if you did want to go into poker,
Well,
no, it's still like the space is still decently resilient. It's not as good as it was. Still pretty good. You can still like, there's still like levels you can get to where like you can earn really well. But then it's kind of like my whole like long-term strategy with poker, at least now, is to like, I've already developed this skill set. So like I need to leverage it. Like I'm kind of at a point where it's like, I just have to. And my goal is to like acquire enough capital to then invest in other things, so like long-term, not be playing poker anymore. And then like there are other things that I'm interested in that I want to pursue. And like now I'm kind of just at a point where like, I'm just like trying to like make enough money to have the time to build other skill sets that are like around the area in which like I'm already have skill sets developed and then do that. And there's like a lot of stuff I would have liked to have done, but like, yeah, that didn't happen. And what are you going to do? And then, I don't know, maybe meet a nice girl and fall in love and have children eventually. I don't know. Wow, that'd be really nice. Down to
love. There we go. Hey, love is good, you know? Well, I mean, I think that's a good advice, right? If you're going to do poker, you can't half-ass it. You can't do it part-time. Go all in, put the effort into it, put the work, you know, have my mentality behind that.
Because also be aware of your own skills. Yeah. And know what you can do, because I think that's very important.
Try to be
in everything.
Yeah, try to be.
It's good to know how well you are, how good you are at what you're doing.
But what about if you suck at everything, you know? So what do you do?
No, and if you can find people that you really respect that have good results, that like will give you any amount of their time, like do that. And then, like, try not to, like, have, like, too much of an ego where if, like, they're just telling you you're doing things poorly. Like, try to gauge if the person's trying to just be a fucking dick. But, like,
gotcha.
If they're, like, trying to help you, and be like, all right, I should probably think about that then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, be completely cool with, like, rebuilding and adjusting yourself and, like, you know, thinking about stuff. And, like, don't think that you're, like, the, you know, perfect thing that's ever been created and that, like, you can't, it's impossible for you to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you can't all be Robert Dinn. Guys.
I know that'd be fucking that'd be the thing to do. That'd be amazing,
right?
All right.
No, I think that's a good advice though. I mean, it sounds like overall though. I mean, like, so let me ask you one last question. Do you have a time frame of when your poker career will be ending or not? You haven't thought about that yet. I'm just curious.
No, I mean, I would like it to be tomorrow. That's not what's happening. So okay. It's like I don't know.
So that hasn't crossed. That hasn't crossed your mind yet at all. That's what it sounds like.
No, I mean, so like this is something that I know that I can do long term, and like based on like results over a large sample, I like kind of know that like I can be okay, and hopefully much much better than okay. And then I don't know. That's like money contingent, and it's like again like. I don't know what else I would really do at this point. And
you did speak earlier that like poker has a lot of skills that you develop that are good in other areas.
Yeah, that you should transition into.
What
yeah.
do you think?
Yeah, like,
would be the what would you think would be a good transitionary?
Like, I think learning to like leverage money or invest in other things, like
also
you can kinda,
like risk analysis, maybe perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, like, you have to do, like, a fair amount of analytics with poker, and then, like, being able to, like, see the soft spots in areas and, like, all the characteristics which identify a soft spot, mm-hmm. which are going to, like, be translational a bit. Gotcha. And then, like, so, like, I mean, I think, like, a lot of the skill sets that go with poker are, like, how to, like, leverage in other domains, like, being able to leverage money in some other spots. But, like, also, like, I wouldn't, like, just start going and doing that. Like, if I got to a point, which hopefully I do get to, where, like, that's a thing that I'm going to, like, now be able to pursue and do. Then I would just like hardcore study for a long time and like try to like really barrel in into something. And then like maybe the result is like, oh, I can't do that. You know what I mean? Like I study really hard to find out that like that's not something I can do. Mm. But I think like long term it's going to help you like learn how to like leverage money in other areas pretty well. And then like basically just keep making more money. But like as far as like ton of stuff I'm interested in, it's just like the time that it's that's required to like gain competency at the thing at these other areas I don't currently have. Maybe I would in the future. And then like even like having the time to do that, like same for you guys where it's like, you know, it takes a lot of time. Like I know you guys want to do other stuff too. It's like gonna take a ton of time, a ton of study. There's like kind of risk involved, and it's like
the only next thing is get yeah. famous from my podcast. That's the only next thing.
I know.
Me too.
That's what you guys
too.
Need to do. Yeah.
Michael Long yeah. and I.
What do you what,
famous
what do you
on
guys,
the podcast?
What do you guys,
that's the next
what,
goal.
I feel like we are a podcast though. We in order to do this, we need to focus on marketing a lot. That's the thing. We're not good at marketers. We're horrible marketers.
All we do is we just put content out there and hopefully someone sees us. But like, yeah, I think if we really wanted to do this, you're right, we have to put more effort in and put more time and thought into it, into marketing it, yeah. like everything related to it. It's just right now it's a hobby, so
it's a good hobby. It gives a side thing to talk about in a sense, and we all have the spare time to do it.
And
so.
and it gets us to like connect with our old friends and yeah. see what they're up to
and like, making sure they're alive.
Like John over here. Make yeah. sure they're alive, yeah.
Good to all see right. you guys.
Well, all right, so we're going to wrap this episode up with our extra MG funny session where we discuss, share a story or link or meme, and then we will end up episode up with a venting rant or whatever you want to get off your chest with. So, Robert, what do you have for us today for our extra MG session?
Okay, so I have this link here. Okay. I found this online.
Okay.
Did you guys watch Squid Games? Because this is a Squid Games reference. So this is a first. It's a billboard from First Midwest Bank. It has a circle, a triangle, and a square on it. And it says, "There are easier ways to manage debt." then
it's pretty funny.
It's really funny.
It's pretty funny because the thing is that catches us attention for those people who watch the game.
Everyone knows those symbols, and everyone knows Squid Games right now. It's very, very topical.
But what if people thought this is a PlayStation control?
See, that's what I thought when I first watched Squid Games. I was like, is this Korean or is it Japanese? Because I think Sony is the one who put all the money into this, because that's their controllers right there.
That's a control. They're missing an X. That's all they're missing, right?
That's good.
All right. So I couldn't decide to share which one, so I'm going to share two of these. So the first one is as a video of a guy, you know, baking the pizza. And what he does is this title is called Unethical Life Pro Pizza Making Tip. How would they know, right? It's a TikTok video. This guy buys a pizza and he's getting ready to slice it. He does this weird triangle slice in the middle, takes it off, and then closes off the pizza into one giant pie and then slices it normally.
No way, really?
Yeah. So watch, take a look at that.
This is the way to do it.
Yeah, looks like it.
Oh, this post has been removed. Oh, no, I see it now. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they take this pizza, they cut a triangle.
They push it back together in the middle.
Oh, and they just push it together?
And they slice it again.
Oh, my God. This must be. You know what? In California, like, a pizza is like $50 a pizza, and I think this is what they're doing. Like, I don't think the pizza. Every time I get a pizza, I'm like, this isn't big enough. Like, in Florida, I get a way bigger pizza.
So anyway, it was between that or this link where it's a couple of fans from the Eagles game. Each of them were wearing a jersey, and let me send it to the chat to make sure everyone's listening. Look at this. So it's three fans standing facing the game, right? And they're wearing an Eagle jersey, one with a back name Long, and then the other one has a back name Cox, and then the other one has back name is Hurts, because Jalen Hurts plays for the Eagles. And they stand next to each other, says Long Cox Hurts.
Like, they sit next to each other?
They're standing next to each other. Check it out. Yeah.
Wait, so these are all players on the Eagles.
On the Eagles, correct.
Mm-hmm. There's a guy whose last name is Long. Guy's last name is Cox. Guy's last name is Hurts.
Yep.
And they just decided they're going to sit next to each other.
And watch the game. Yeah.
All right. I guess I see it. I see what you did there.
It's pretty funny. I'm looking at the comments. It says, Eagle fans love Long Cox.
That's in the comments.
Yeah, in the comments, you know. in the book movie Spontaneous, Cox blew up. I don't know, I'm just reading this freaking comments. Oh, it's crazy. God.
This is nuts.
So good that I was like, okay, this is too funny. I don't know which one to share. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, those are two good ones. All right, we're gonna move on. Oh, John, do you have any?
No, sorry, I can't find the power cord in my laptop, so I can't share anything.
You have any funny stories poker stories that you have?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, I don't know.
It's not a big deal. Yeah.
All right.
Try to think of something that would be entertaining.
I'll give you a story while we wait for you to think, right? So I was going to go play poker in Tampa when we were in college, and we went with one of my buddies. It was his birthday, but he doesn't play poker. So we all got a drink. I went out, played poker, and then a couple other people like were hanging out with him at the bar. So when I came back from the bar from poker, he told me the story. He's like, hey, like all of a sudden, like this, like we're at the Hard Rock. So it's like Indian reservation, right? And he's like, this Native American lady came up to me, and she's like an older Native American lady. She was like hitting on me real hard. And he was not into it, right? And he's like, and then all of a sudden, she comes over, and I thought she was going to whisper in my ear. She stuck her tongue down my ear.
Oh, damn.
And we're like, all right, happy birthday. And he's like, no, like, this is not what I want. He's like a straight-laced white guy, doesn't like any of that stuff. And even to this day, he's like, we're like, hey, you want to go to Hard Rock? He's like, no. Never again.
She's been waiting for him the whole time.
Yeah. Wait, he doesn't like making out with old ladies, really?
She's like standing there with a rose.
She made out with his ear. That's what happened. Oh man.
That's pretty funny though. Oh my god. That's hilarious.
All right. That's good. I don't have anything. My life's boring. Play poker and go to the gym. I don't know.
No worries.
I need to do way more of the gym.
All right. So Robert, what you want to kick off with your rant and your venting session today? What do you have for us there?
Yeah, we're going to move on to our rant session. So my rant is about, I'm about to move, right? I'm about to leave San Francisco, start going digital nomad, like y'all heard in the last episode. And I found like it's not cheaper to rent Airbnbs than it is to
live
in San Francisco.
It's not cheaper.
It's not cheaper at all. It's like similarly, like what I can get here for like a 12-month lease, whatever, monthly.
Yep.
I go anywhere else and it's more expensive to do like month to month rent, like Airbnbs. And
it is.
Like, man, this is not going to be a cheaper solution.
But
I think I've already committed. So I'm going to start spending a little more money and
But I feel like though you can get away if you message VRBO people, try looking to that, like in your houses.
But I don't want to, like, I live here. It's expensive. It's a one bedroom place. One bedroom place that to just stay in is just difficult.
For a month or two, you'd be surprised. VRBO sometimes are more flexible.
They're just they look like when you go on the website, it's just more expensive, like way more expensive.
Well, I know Airbnb it is though. Also, sometimes
I found better results on Airbnb than on VRBO.
But also, keep this in mind though. You can always message the people say, hey, I want to stay here for a month, right? And then they're willing to give you the monthly rate sometimes too, though. So you'd be surprised.
Yeah, I don't know, but like, maybe I need to try that. But it's just not cheaper. I found that if I do this live, I'm gonna be spending way more money in this.
Is it cheaper to rent a hotel?
Like a motel. It's cheaper.
Oh, like an extended stay? That's what you're talking about?
Like a shitty place. But like you go to a hotel, like a nice hotel, it's not gonna be, or like a not like a super nice hotel, but like just a hotel that you'd be good
to let me ask you this. How much it would cost to break down Airbnb per night? You know?
I don't know, per night. For a month, right?
Yeah.
I can find something for like $3,500 a month.
So that'll be $110 per night,
$110, $115.
I've done like as you guys know, I've done like the extended stay Airbnb life for like a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like it does average like this, like Din's right. Like if you want to get like the nicer ones, like 35. And then like if, or like even like a long term stay. And then like the middle of the range ones, which is like what I like target, it's like 22 to 25.
Yeah.
So it's it is like surprisingly expensive.
And it might just be like my first stop, right? My first stop is going to be Lake Tahoe. So it's going to be expensive anyways, but like I just can't find anything there. Like anything.
It is season time right now.
And it's like in the middle of ski season. So it's going to be more expensive. I understand that, but I even looked at my next trip, which is going to be Denver, and it's just not cheaper. Like it's just
Denver's more expensive.
It's really not.
Yeah.
The market is like, I don't really get it. I mean, maybe because of COVID or something. I don't know.
Well, COVID did drive it up back in the day too. Also last year because of the local trips and stuff. Now that because they can sustain it and not everybody's still flying as much, you know what I mean? So everybody's still doing local trips. And because Robert is going to two major season, ski season areas too, also keep that in mind. And Denver's not cheaper. You will have to look at somewhere like North Dakota, you know, perhaps maybe, I don't know. Alabama, you know?
Yeah. We'll see what happens, but yeah, it's just not as cheap. It's not as cheap as I thought it was gonna be.
All right,
So
I'm gonna jump to my rant. So some of you guys know that I come back to South Florida to visit my parents very often, right? And they have this gated community. Okay, so I also noticed that sometimes I tend to leave the remote in another car at home by accident in Orlando, whatever it is. So the only way to get in is to dial the phone number, but that's only calls into the landline in my house. But if nobody's there to pick it up to open the gate, I'm stuck outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, why don't I have a master password for my house only? You know what I mean?
Oh, I thought they have one for like mailmen and stuff.
So apparently they do, but they don't want to give it out to anybody though. Okay.
Yeah.
So I called the HOA and I said, hey, I remember back in the days, you guys used to have, you know, this code, everybody has their own code. Why can't we have that code? I'm like, you know, what happens to your visitors, things like that. And they're like, no, we can't do that. You have to call the code and it calls the one line. I'm like, wait, so hang on. Can I add a phone number to that line that it calls, you know,
rather than landline? Yeah.
Well, can I add another number? Call two numbers at the same time or something like that. Whatever it is, you know? Because what if someone doesn't answer the cell phone, right? It could be showering, whatever it is. Like,
number goes to a cell phone?
It goes to a landline right now. Because someone's supposed to be home.
Yeah, I think it's set up easier to go land.
Yeah. But anyway, long story short, I argued with this leader, like, at least give me the fucking code. I'm like, and they're like, no, we can't. The board would not be allowed this. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm like, the mailman has it, the emergency people has it. Like, why can't you give us a call? How hard can this really be? Mm-hmm. Right? And so
security, Mike. It's all about security.
No,
it's all about keeping you safe.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep you safe.
So I found out I found out it was because they didn't want to pay for the upgrade software for the system.
Oh, I see. How much more is that software?
According to the board, according to the treasurer of the board, it would have cost them $12,000.
$12,000. How much that HOA would that increase your HOA?
I don't know, but but either way though, like, so the board voted against this, something like that, because it's not part of the budget and because it adds no value according to them, right?
Oh,
and so value. Yeah. Okay. So I told my dad, add me to the name of the house. I'm gonna start going to the fucking board meeting and raise hell for this shit.
See, that's what you gotta do. Yeah. We just need lobbyists like Mike Wong to get this going.
All right, you gotta run for like head of the HOA now.
Yeah, Mike's gonna be the head of HOA next year.
That's the way you do it.
Well, even though I don't live here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be hard. That's gonna be hard to win if you don't live there, but you can do it.
You know what? You just go 100% or zero. All right, that's what I want, Mike. 100% or zero. Yeah. Just do it.
I don't know if it's good advice. I feel like, I don't know. There's like this myth of having a balanced life and like it just doesn't work. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That is a myth for sure.
Yeah. It's like super like fucked up that people think that that's like doable. I don't know.
I'm going to just side on that because I feel like balanced life depends on somebody's perspective. That's the thing. What do you consider balanced for you may not be the same thing for me.
You'll never get really good. Like it's like embedded in what the thing is, where it's like, if you're trying to get exceptionally good at something, you're intrinsically, like it's embedded that you're going to be unbalanced. Cause like you're trying to get exceptionally good at one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, it's like inherently unbalanced.
Yeah. But for them though, they may perceive perspective. Okay. I'm working 70 hours.
Oh, I'm just saying like, maybe that's like not something you want to do. Probably isn't something you should. I don't know. Maybe that's like not the healthy.
We might not even. Like it shouldn't even be something that's taught that we can have a balanced life.
Or even that, or like maybe like just be cool with like not being great at anything and like, but like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like maybe, yeah, that's like, no, that's the other thing.
You're looking at this guy. Just look at this guy. You know, I'm a balanced life now, you know?
Thing is, maybe I'm still terrible. I don't know.
All right, John, you have anything you want to rant about?
Yeah.
I have like a lot of stuff. I have like a lot of stuff that I want to rant about, but like nothing that I want to do at all publicly.
All right. That's all right.
Your Chick-fil-A didn't come cold or anything like that.
I actually have had Chick-fil-A like 5 times in like the last 2 months, which is like the amount that I had it over like the last 10 years.
Which is like
weird. I don't know why I'm having it so often.
The craving, man, is a craving.
It happens, yeah.
Yeah.
It is very good. I need to get like, I don't know, rants about my stuff. I need to like be more disciplined and stuff, like fluctuating in weight, like being better shape and sleep better and like all that stuff. Yeah. So like rant is like, I need to, against myself, I want to be more disciplined.
Just be better.
Be better. Yeah, just be better. That's it. Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Want to be fine. Better.
So next time I see you, you're not going to be drinking for 30 days. You're going to lose 10 pounds, right? So there you go.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, next time you come back on the podcast, you know, we'll see a Slimmer John. There you go.
There we go.
Man, that's like such a burn. Jesus Christ. That had nothing to do with what I said. Nothing to do with what I said. All right. Well,
there you go.
All right. Well, John,
challenge, listen, challenge accepted.
There we go. Hey, you have something to compare. When you look back this episode next time, you come back another episode, you can compare. So
that's true.
It's so brutal. All right.
Well, listen, John, we appreciate you being on. We appreciate you sharing your insight, your experience, your thoughts behind that, and how you dissect things. So those folks who are listening to our podcast, please make sure leave a comment, let us know what you thought about this episode, and make sure you subscribe. And if you're watching us on YouTube, hit the like button below. Make sure you smash the subscribe button as well and leave the comments. Let us know what you think about John, what he should do better with poker, whether you want to play poker or not, ask him for advice if you want to.
Yeah, ask him whatever you want.
No, I'm not going to do any of that.
We're going to leave his number on the comment below.
Yeah, we'll get enough so you can dox him over there, all right?
Man.
Yeah. All
right.
But if you want to watch any of our other episodes, feel free to go to our website, www.gfothoughts.com. And we'll see you next
time. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. If you are watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like this episode, and leave us a comment. And as always, you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at GFOT Thoughts. Until next time, see you then.